Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And thank you for joining me here on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And I'm here every Thursday from 5 to 6. And so I really appreciate that you're sharing your time with me. Today, we're going to be talking about various saints, but we've just been only 1 week of having a new pope, Pope Leo XIV. And when we got that announcement last week, it was just, an hour or two where we got notice and we, you know, Kathleen was on the air and then I was on the air right after. And we, you know, had to find out more about him. And since it's a week later, I'd like to talk a little bit about this pope and then also shift into the saints of the day, which is very relevant to our time, especially the saint of the day, which people may not realize. It's not on the calendar, I don't see. I see Saint Isidore. I'll talk about him a little bit, Saint Isidore the farmer. He's a Spaniard. He's also known as Saint Isidore the Laborer, but I'll talk about Saint Dimphna, and she's the patron saint of mental illness or nervous diseases. And also, I wanted to talk about the saint for the next day, May 16th, who would be Saint Simon Stock, which he's the one that received the scapular directly from the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so I'll talk about that, and I'll get into the readings and the gospel for this coming fifth Sunday of Easter. So there's a lot of things that we're going to cover today, and I hope you'll enjoy this show that I've put together for you. All right, and so let's start off with the Our Father together, since our program is named after that, being signed, sealed, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we are in the year, the ordinary jubilee of hope. And there is a lot of hope with this new pope, Pope Leo XIV, especially that he is the American pope, you know, from Chicago. Looks like his great-grandmother or grandmother was from Creole country down in New Orleans, as they would say down there. And you know, they moved up to Chicago. It looks like when he went to high school, it was a seminary, high school seminary for Augustinian, and continued being in an Augustinian community through Villanova University, majored in mathematics. So he's local to us here as far as, you know, this, In His Sign Catholic Radio is from the Philadelphia area, and I'm broadcasting out here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And so he's one of us. You know, he seems to have a sense of humor. He's cracking some jokes. He seems to be, according to his brother, to be more in the middle. Like, you know, I hate to bring in the, you know, like political types of connotations, whether he's left or right, but the way the brother described his own brother was that he's right down the middle. He's, you know, he's not far right, he's not far left. And just looking at some of the different videos or write-ups about him, he looks like that, you know, he has a real love for the faith, and that he's really a missionary. And so it looks like he wants us to be reaching out to the world, and especially now that, you know, we have that mandate here, or the, you know, the encouragement for our own bishop, Bishop Nelson Perez, who, by the way, was my pastor back in, 2010 to 2013 here at St. Agnes, you know, that how we should really evangelize different, you know, re-evangelize or try to get people to come back into the church, because there's only, 17% of baptized Catholic are, you know, going back to Mass. So here we have this Pope, Leo XIV, who is, has that missionary background of him, and that how he wants to use that and build bridges. And now I know that term building bridges has other connotations, but, but at the same time, we want to be able to bring people back in to the church. We all have some sort of experience where family members or friends or relatives, they were Catholic and they no longer believe in Catholicism, or lies about how we shouldn't really leave Jesus because of Judas. All right. So, there's news, of course, of different types of people causing scandal. Right. They can be female teachers in a public school. They can be male teachers. They can be policemen. They can be, you know, Catholic priests or Protestant pastors or rabbis. Everybody is human, and we all sin and need a savior. And so since Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church in the year 33, that we should stay faithful to Jesus. So remember, Jesus himself, when he chose the 12 apostles, he chose Judas, who betrayed him, and all the other apostles, you know, abandoned him when he was arrested, except for John, the apostle. And so we, you know, all his apostles left him except John. And so, but the one who betrayed him was, in particular, was Judas. So that's one out of 12. So there's that percentage there, which, you know, if you look at it, then we Catholics, there's going to be people like one out of 12 that too will be traitorous or cause a scandal. So with this Pope here, you know, there's also been, you know, rumors like, how did he handle those things? Well, again, you know, there's this Pope, I think, is going to give a lot of hope, because he took on the name, especially Leo XIV. And so when he takes on this name, Leo XIV, it calls into mind, you know, Leo XIII, who was a great pope back in the late 1800s. And he was known, of course, as the, you know, pope of social justice, but as well, you know, Pope Leo XIII wrote 88 encyclicals. Some say it was 85, but what I saw on Wikipedia was 88 that was listed there. And he wrote a lot about the rosary. So that Pope Leo XIII wrote about the rosary. He wrote also against Freemasonry and secret societies, and showing that, you know, that's not compatible at all with the Catholic faith. So if one happens to be a Freemason, that they can't be a Catholic that way, or vice versa. If you're a Catholic, you can't be a Freemason. You can't be both. And so this calls into mind, well, does this new Pope, is he going to be like Pope Leo XIII, who is going to also talk about social justice, defend the worker, you know, talk a lot about Our Lady and the Rosary, as well as showing the evils of Freemasonry and secret societies? Because we know in this world, and even with this, the cardinal electors, they were being swayed before the conclave by various sides, right and left, you know, to try to pick the Pope who they thought would help them in their certain agendas. So whether that be the you know, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, and so forth, they were having to have their way. You know, one interesting interview that the brother, Pope Leo XIV's brother, he revealed very something interesting, where supposedly the second or third day after Pope Francis died. Remember, there's like 9 days of mourning before the conclave. Well, if I remember correctly, or I heard correctly, the brother was saying on the second or third day after the Pope died that somehow he found out that his brother was in the top three candidates, you know, papabili. In other words, he's papable, like one of the three people. But, you know, looking back at that time, how would he know? And he addressed this to his brother, and his brother eschewed this and said, no, I wouldn't even be considered, you know, for this at all. And he said, that's not true. Can't be. And so forth. But, you know, he was not in the running as far as publicly what we knew. It was a very surprising selection. But then this is the reason why I'm bringing this up. If it was a surprising selection, then why on day three, how in the world would his brother know? And then how the brother further related that 2 days before the conclave, they were already, Robert Francis Prevost was being asked, well, what name would you select if you were chosen to be Pope? So this is before the conclave, 2 days before, again, if I remember right, on the interview there with the brother. And so if he's not being thought of, and yet he's being asked of what name, then this calls, you know, it raises the question, then was this truly a surprise? Because here is the conclave, they made the third ballot, they made him the Pope on the third ballot, basically within 24 hours, for somebody that was relatively unknown, a cardinal. He was made a cardinal, September 30th, 2023. So less than 2 years, he was a cardinal and wasn't really known to other cardinals and other bishops. So, like, it causes wonder, at least on my perspective, that somebody's the unknown raised to that point within three ballots in 24 hours was already in consideration 3 days after Pope Francis died. And then 2 days before the conclave, they were already wondering what his name was going to be. So how surprising was it? And, you know, so there's a lot. I think they're not allowed to talk about what happened in the conclave. But what I'm mentioning here is something that happened before the conclave, during the 9 days of mourning of Pope Francis. Anyway, that's just something I just wanted to bring up. And I didn't know if any of you caught that interview and heard the same thing as I did. Anyway, so it's still very exciting to hear, you know, this Pope Leo the 14th, that he named himself after Pope Leo his predecessor, the 13th, and that he actually had a special indult from Pope Francis to have the Mass in Latin. So he would offer Mass in Latin. And then when he, as Pope, had Mass, he had Mass in the new Novus Ordo, and he actually said a lot of Latin in that Mass. So there might be a good revival of the Latin Mass. I'm one who really loves the Latin Mass and also loves the Novus Ordo, especially when it's done with a lot of Latin. It just raised, in my opinion, it raises up one's heart, mind, and soul so much easier because of the sacred language that's been with the church for how many centuries, but to the 1500s and so forth, all the way through, you know, relatively recently. In our parish in St. Agnes, we're so blessed. Our pastor also loves Latin Mass. And once a month through the Schola, through the choir, we have a Mass that is, you know, that gives, it's, you know, we get communion on the tongue, at the altar railing. And it's very much respectful of like the Novus Ordo, but also using the Eucharistic prayer, the first Eucharistic prayer, and having that Mass. You know, with that said, I also do, you know, want to mention, you know, my son you know, he's going to be having his sixth year as an ordained priest. So his feast day is of ordination is May 18th. And we should also pray for the ordinations of the new priest. I think it's this coming Saturday, the 17th. So that's going to be really exciting. A lot of things, a lot of changes, a lot of good changes happening here. And again, so apropos for this ordinary jubilee of hope. All right. And so let's go into today. Well, you know, today again is the month of May, and it's a month, it's dedicated to Our Lady. And today's the 15th of May. And so the saint that's on the calendar is Saint Isidore. And I quickly just wanted to share about Saint Isidore. And then I'll talk a little bit about Saint Dimphna, and then tomorrow Saint Simon Stock, because, you know, he is a Carmelite and I'm a lay Carmelite, so there's something that I just want to share about that. So, okay, Saint Isidore the farmer, he was originally born in 1070 and he died in the year 1130. And he was born in Madrid, Spain, and he was a farmer. And what was amazing about this farmer is during his work in the fields, he would have celestial visions. And also, he also had angels come and help him with his work. And so, you know, this I'm reading this from Catholic.org, and I highly recommend that website to look into, you know, the various saints of the day. Now, he's not the only saint of the day here. And so I wanted to go to the next saint of the day, even though it's not on our calendar. And that saint of the day is Saint Dimphna. And so let me go to her. And her feast day is also May 15th. And she's the patron saint of those suffering from nervous or mental afflictions. And she, we don't have the exact date of her birth or her death, but we know she was from the 7th century, meaning in the 600s. Now, what's really, her story is very incredible. And it's sad in a sense because she was martyred. And so the thing was, she, you know, she was born from, her father was a pagan king. She was born in Ireland. And she was, and her mother was a devout Christian. But her mother died when she was a young girl. And essentially, her father was so much in grief that he literally, from the loss of his beloved wife, that he became insane. And he was consumed with finding a wife just like the wife he lost. And being a noble, he was, you know, advised, they tried to help him in the kingdom to find, his father's name was Damon. And so his counselors suggested that he tried to remarry. And so he tried to find his wife as beautiful as his deceased wife, but he couldn't find anyone that would meet his standards or looks like her. Anyway, what happened was the king's counselor, while he was still grieving, actually suggested a horrific suggestion and sent, you know, and told him to, why don't you marry your daughter? Because, you know, they tried to go throughout all the different towns and lands to find somebody of a noble birth who looks like his former, his wife who died, and they couldn't find one. So the evil advisors to this King Damon, you know, told them, why don't you marry your own daughter? I'm assuming it's because she looked like her. Anyway, he was insane in that sense that, it, you know, he got twisted in his thoughts, and he could, when he looked at his daughter now, he could see his wife. And so he thought, this is a good idea. And Dimphna heard about this misguided plot and fled the castle And she fled with her confessor, a priest named Jerobran. And they took with them two servants and then somebody else. And they sailed across from Ireland and they went into Belgium and in a town called Gael. And what happened was when she was there, Dimphna used her riches and her wealth to build the hospital for the poor and the sick. And her father was able to discover her location because of hearing of the, you know, this hospital and this wealth being used. And so he traveled to Belgium and he actually captured them. And he ordered that priest, that confessor of Dimphna, to be beheaded, and they did so. And he then, the King Damon, then went to his daughter and, you know, proposed, and she, of course, refused. This is incestuous. And so he became enraged. He was insane, and he drew his sword, and he beheaded his own daughter. And he ordered that they take those two people, the priest and Dimphna, and take those heads. And they took the heads and put them in a cave. But what the point was, I know this is gross to hear, but again, this is a priest and this is a 15-year-old daughter. So that's how old she was when she died. That, you know, when she, well, I forgot to say, you know, she had given her life to the Lord. And that's why she didn't want also, I mean, it was incestuous too to begin with. But, you know, she was crowned with this martyrdom. And they thought it was about the year 620 was when this happened. So they built the church around that area. She was called the Lily of Irei. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Irei, I think. And then there was a church that was built in the 1300s. It got burnt down, but they rebuilt it. And it's there to this day. So there's been many miracles, at this shrine. There's also a shrine here in the United States to St. Dimphna. And that priest who was also decapitated, you know, he too was sainted. And his remains are in Germany, Zanten, Germany. So there's a church in Ohio, Massillon, or I don't know if it's the French pronunciation is Massillon, in Ohio. St. Mary's Catholic Church there, and there's also a school in Ireland. So St. Dimphna is the one you can reach out to and ask. She's a patron saint for those suffering from nervous and mental afflictions, and as well as those victims of incest. And so, when you see her, she's portrayed as wearing a crown on her head. She's dressed in royal robes, and she's holding a sword. So if you ever see that picture, you'll know why she's holding the sword. She was only 15 years old. She was canonized on 620, but again, we don't know the, that's because she was martyred, but we don't know the exact day she was martyred, I should say. But they thought it was around 620. Anyway, I do want to also talk about the next saint. Since we're almost at the bottom of the hour, I'll just go start a little bit. It's a St. Simon Stock. I may have to continue after we take a break, but let me just give you a little background. St. Simon Stock, the reason why his last name is called Stock, it was because the word stock meant tree trunk. And the legend has it that when he was just a mere 12 years old, he actually lived as a hermit in the hollow of the tree trunk of an oak tree. And, you know, he was very devout. And it was believed that as a young man that he went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And then he joined a group of Carmelites, meaning, at Mount Carmel. Now, some of you may remember this Mount Carmel is the place way back when Elijah, had challenged the 400 priests of Baal, and he won the challenge to prove that there's only one God, and he slayed them all. Well, a bunch of hermits were from that area, and this Saint Simon Stocks was the one who was one of the hermits there. And then later on, he moved, or the order of Carmelites then moved to England. And when he was in England, Simon Stock, you know, helped found many Carmelite communities in really big name towns where the universities were, such as Cambridge and Oxford. And also he went and established Carmelite communities in Paris and Bologna. And so he also helped change the Carmelites from being the hermits that it was at Mount Carmel to, you know, mendicant friars. So when they came to London, it was like 1241, and he became the superior general in the year 1254, and which put a lot of pressure on him. And in fact, there was a lot of persecution about being a Carmelite, and which led to him praying in his room very desperately and asking for help. And so I want to just leave you hanging right there at this point, and we'll continue with the story of St. Simon Stock, because we're right now at the bottom of the hour. And so let's take a break at this point, and then we'll resume the rest of the story about St. Simon Stock when he's in his room really weeping and asking help from the Blessed Mother. So let's take a break, and then we'll come right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we're signed by the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And again, we're on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And as you heard from the commercial there, if any of you would like to help sponsor this show or any of the shows on In His Sign Catholic Radio, to please call in. You know, these shows that we do as hosts and also to run on air cost money, and we do this on a volunteer basis, and we can only broadcast this with your help, any kind of donations, whether it be small amounts to larger amounts. But we ask your help, if possible, that if you can give it, give and call to In His Sign Catholic Radio. All right, so let's continue now with talking about the saint of the day for tomorrow, May 6th. scenes. And I'm sharing this partly because I'm a lay Carmelite, been a Carmelite since 1997. But also because, you know, when I give this program, my program's only once a week. And so I wanted to make sure that you guys know about Simon Stott. He's not on the calendar, so it's an optional, celebration or commemoration, memorial, I should say. But for us Carmelites, in our breviary or our proper of offices, that when we pray the divine office, we have, you know, Saint Simon Stock there listed. And so I wanted to share how amazing this man is, because like I said, he was a Carmelite that originally was from the Holy Land in Mount Carmel, then went to London, and in 1241 was when the Carmelites came and it was established now in London. And then 10 years later was, excuse me, in he was, he became the Superior General in 1254. He was elected the Superior General. But what happened was in 1251, this in Cambridge, England, is when he was in his cell, and there was a lot of persecution of being a Carmelite, that it was on July 16, 1251, he poured out his heart to the Blessed Mother, asking for help. And she heard his plea, and she appeared to him, and she was accompanied by a multitude of angels. Of course, this makes sense because she's the queen of the angels. And she was holding in her hand the scapular of the order. And she said specifically, she said to Simon Stock, "This shall be to you and to all Carmelites a privilege that anyone who dies clothed in this scapular shall not suffer eternal fire." In other words, you won't, you know, suffer damnation. And I'll continue with this, and I'll give my commentary about it. So she says, "Accept this scapular. It shall be a sign of salvation, a protection in danger, and a pledge of peace. Whoever dies clothed in this scapular shall not suffer eternal fire." And so when one way to look at it, like it says here, it's a pledge of peace. It's also a sign that we're saved. It's a sign that we're going to be saved. Of course, if we take it off and we don't wear it for a long time, then the promises that is attached to it won't apply. So you have to wear it every day. And at the same time, you know, anyone can wear it. Any Catholic can wear it. Now, believe it or not, there's 18 different types of scapulars of various colors and appearances. But this is the most famous, and this is the one that Our Lady gave, the brown scapular. And so this scapular, it's one way of identifying us as we're under the auspices of Our Lady. We're her servants. And scapulars are essentially what you call aprons. So what it really is, you know, the priests and nuns who wore the original scapular, it would be a large piece of cloth that would drape, that would go over one's head, but it would drape from the shoulders all the way down to the front of one's toes. And then it would drape from the back of the person's head, their neck, the nape of their neck, to the back of their heels. And it's really meant to be an apron or a washcloth you would dry your hands on. And it shows, it emphasizes the point, like Our Lady, when she was praying the Magnificat, that, you know, be it when she says about the prayer where she says, be it done unto me, she says to Angel Gabriel, be it done unto me according to thy word, you know, that she's the handmaid of the Lord. So we too are handmaids or servants of our Lord and our Lady. And so this scapular, it's called a scapular because the wing bones on our back, though the medical term for those wing bones are called scapula, but this cloth, because it goes over those wing bones or between the wing bones, that is called a scapular. And again, it's a sign of our salvation that when we wear this, we will be saved from the fires of hell. But I want to caution people when people wear this, that it's not supposed to be a superstitious belief. Okay, this scapular is called, you know, like other devotions, a sacramental. It's not a sacrament. Like we know there are seven sacraments, you know, baptism, confession, communion, confirmation, you know, the sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of holy orders, and the anointing of the sick. In the old days, they would call that, extreme unction. Those are seven sacraments that was given to us by God, by Jesus. So he's given by the husband to his bride, the church. So it's from Jesus, the husband of the church. He gives us these sacraments. The sacramentals are given to us by the bride of the church. The bride, this is the church. So the church gives us these sacramentals, whereas the sacrament comes from Jesus. Okay, so the sacramentals comes from the church and Our Lady, part of the church, of course. She gives us this so we could use this. And the sacramentals depend on our faith. So whereas the sacrament, you know, whether a person goes to confession and they may not feel like they were forgiven of sin, they were forgiven because the Lord gave the power to the priest to forgive sin. So even the person may walk away from that, like, well, I didn't feel anything different. The sacraments doesn't go by feelings. It goes by the fact that God gave this, these graces. And as long as we follow the rubrics, right, that we're sorry for our sins, like we're going to confession, right, and that we're not trying to hide anything, that we're really repentant. Whereas these sacramentals, like the scapular, it depends on our faith. Do we really believe that this came from the Blessed Mother, given to St. Simon Stock, and that when we wear this, die clothed in the scapular, we won't go to hell. We won't suffer eternal fire. And that it's a pledge of peace. And also that we're being protected in times of danger. It's also a sign of salvation that we're going to be saved, but we have to keep being in grace, right? Another sign of salvation is the rosary. So when people pray the rosary, that's a great sign that, yes, you're on your way to heaven. Keep praying. You're wearing your scapular, that's a sign you're saved. Keep wearing it. And so what happened when St. Simon Stock received this from the Blessed Mother, I mean, he was 90 years old. Imagine that. He's weighed down by these external persecutions and a lot of dissension within the community. He's 9 years old. He's alone in his cell, retired there. And, when I say retired, meaning he wants to go sleep, but he's distraught. He's 9 years old. The Blessed Mother appears to him with all these angels and she gives him this scapular. And no sooner when he was given this scapular, that it was put to the test. And meaning that what happened was on that very day, he was called by a person by the name Lord Peter of Linton. And he was quoted to saying to St. Simon Stock, he said, "Come quickly, Father. My brother is dying in despair." So Father Simon Stock left at once and went to the bedside of this dying man, Lord Peter's brother. And what he did, he took that scapular he got from the Blessed Mother, and he asked the Blessed Mother to keep her promise, because he said, because she said that those who die wearing the scapular won't suffer the fires of eternal fire, right? And so immediately when Father Simon Stock put the scapular on Lord Peter's brother, that brother, he repented. Apparently, you know, he, you know, was a sinner, of course, but he died in God's grace. And this is a key thing here, what happened. Later that night, that dead man, when he did die, right, that dead man appeared to his brother, Lord Peter, and said to his brother, Lord Peter, that I have been saved through the most powerful queen and the habit of that man as a shield, meaning Father Simon Stock, who put the scapular on him. So remember, brothers and sisters, this scapular is a shield, like just like what the Blessed Mother had said, that it is a sign of our salvation. It's a protection in danger, and this man was in danger of dying, and a pledge of peace. He died in peace, and when he died clothed in the scapular, that he did not suffer eternal fire. And so here he is appearing to his brother who fetched Simon Stock, who happened to be able to test this out and asked the Blessed Mother to keep her promise. And she did, of course. And so this is the great thing about the scapular. Now, remember, we should get invested in the scapular. So when you wear it is one thing, but it's best, it's promised. We should make the promise by being invested. And that can only be done by a priest or a deacon. And then so we have to wear it in the proper manner, you know, one in front, one behind us, and it's brown, it's only wool. You can only really wear the metal scapular only if you're allergic to it. You're really supposed to wear the brown scapular. It's not that, oh, I like the pretty metal. You're really, if you look at the rules, you're supposed to wear the brown scapular unless you're allergic to the scapular, then you wear the metal. Anyway, so I hope you enjoyed that part of it. I didn't know I was going to take this long on talking about the scapular, but it's very, you know, as a lay Carmelite, the Scalus Carmi is very important to me, and I wanted to make sure you all know this, even though this saint is of tomorrow, the saint of the day. He's not listed on there. Saint Simon Stock was 90 years old when this happened, so I just wanted to share that. All right, so let's now go to the readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter. And the part that I wanted to focus on is, let's go to the Gospel of John. All right. And this is from John chapter 13. And the context is we're in the upper room. I mean, as far as reading this, right, Jesus is in the upper room with his apostles, and Judas had just left. So this is in the Last Supper. So it says, when Judas had just left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So here, the Gospel of the Lord, thanks be to God. Now, when Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment," so there's two things I wanted to say here where in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it actually has that commandment there about You should. It says, love one another as yourself. So when Jesus says here in at the Last Supper in this chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, he's saying, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another. So what he's doing is, what's new about this is that we have to love as Jesus loved, which means that we should love more than what the way that we would love. Remember earlier, Jesus said, you know, you should love somebody as yourself. Well, that's true, but he raises that up to another degree, right? I mean, I just said in Leviticus, this is love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus also mentions that earlier in his ministry. But you think about it, people can misuse that part of the commandment when they said love your neighbor as yourself. Well, let me just take an extreme example here. What if the people you hang around are thugs or criminals, okay? Or let's say they're robbers, they're thieves. And so they actually like stealing. Let's just use this crazy example, all right? This extreme example. So a bunch of robbers or thieves, or they like to go, you know, vandalize stores. You know, like look what happened when things were shut down, right? When there were riots during COVID time and all this stuff, and people would just go in there en masse and just stealing. I mean, we witnessed some of this, my wife and I, just people just stealing things, just rampant, just blatantly. And then, so the way they would treat each other is that this is how they love each other. They would steal and they would share among themselves what they stole. And so that's how they could rationalize and say, oh, well, we'll treat each other the way we love to be treated. We like to steal, so I'll steal, and he does too, so we'll do that. But even with this said, there's a common sense axiom that there's honor among thieves, that even when you try to steal from one another, they know that's wrong. But yet the thieves, when they go as mobs and they break, you know, bust the windows and doors to steal whatever, jewelry or tennis shoes, you know, they're doing this like in conspiring with each other. But if they, you know, after taking whatever, all these clothes or jewelry or tennis shoes or what, a coat or what have you, if they steal among themselves, you know, their booty, their stash of their stolen goods, if they steal among themselves, even they know that's wrong. So the way Jesus puts it, in my opinion here, is like saying, like, love the way he loves. Jesus would never steal, right? He would not steal. And so, of course, then you should be like Jesus, because we as humans would just compare to each other. Well, I'm going to love that person like I love myself. Well, that person lies to me. I'm going to lie to them. That's how they love me. Well, they don't talk to me. They snub me. Well, I'll snub them too. That's how they love me. Oh, that's how I love them back. Well, it's not real love, is it? Right? If you steal from them, snub them, if you, tell lies to them just because they do that to you, that's called revenge. That's not loving them. So people can misuse that. They can do it. They can misname things or misappropriately call it love when it's really not. So Jesus raises the bar and says, love one another as I loved you. And how did he love? He died for us. And this calls to mind about marriages, that, you know, husbands should love their wives, and wives love their husband, but husbands should love their wives to the point that they would really die for them. So this is the thing, that they would give anything to help their wife. Now, this is why I brought up the idea, the story about St. Dimphna. And Dimphna, you know, when her father, Damon, lost his wife, the queen, that he was going crazy. But the point was, he's now wanted to commit incest with his own daughter, Dimphna, to the point that when she refused and the priest defended her, that he killed them both. So, of course, this is not loving each other. You're supposed to love as God loved us. And so this is just, you know, something that we should realize, that we should love each other. And in fact, that's that famous or that popular song back in the day, that they, we will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And that's what that it says here in this John chapter 13. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So this is why we should not leave Jesus because of Judas. So even though there might be bad Catholics, bad priests, and there, remember, there's, we're all sinners. So whether one's Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Buddhist, what have you, you can be a Boy Scout a leader, you can be a teacher, you can be a cop, you can be a judge, you can be whatever. Everybody's a sinner. But the only divine institution ever created was the one created by Jesus himself, the Catholic Church. So if this is why we need to call back people who left the church, because they mistakenly put their faith in people. So if we put our faith in Judas, of course we're going to think that, like, why should I follow Judas? Well, or why if I follow the 12 apostles and Jesus? Jesus didn't do anything wrong. 11 of the 12 did, except John. So we're really putting the blame on the wrong person. You see? And so this is the thing. Don't leave Jesus, the founder of the Catholic Church, because of one of the members. Okay? Our faith is in Jesus, not in the people, because we'll all fail each other. We all fail our own selves, if you think about it, right? Well, we are our worst enemies. We intend to do something right, but we fail in that. And we always seem to make excuses for ourselves that it's okay that we made this mistake. But if we see that mistake in others, oh, no, we can't take that anymore. There's no room for forgiveness for that other person who did something wrong against us. But if we did something wrong, oh, we have an excuse this time or that time, and that, you know, it's really not bad because we didn't mean it. Well, the result is still the same. We did a sin against God and our neighbor. We're supposed to love God. We're supposed to love neighbor. And so we really should be humble ourselves before the Lord, that we are sinners. We need a Savior. And thanks be to God that Jesus Christ gave us the sacrament of confession, and he showed us how that's done when he was on the cross. When he was on the cross, he talked to his neighbor, the good thief. His name was Dismas, and he literally canonized him. He made him a saint. He said to Dismas, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And he did that after Dismas confessed his sin, that this is a just punishment for him being a rabble rouser, you know, a murderer, a thief, and that he deserves this punishment. And he recognized Jesus as Lord, and that he asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom. And during this confession, which was out loud for Jesus, the highest priest of the highest priest, of course, he's God, he heard his confession auricularly. In other words, through his ears, out loud. Jesus actually gave the example how he wanted his apostles to forgive sins. You have to hear the person confess it out loud. And when Jesus heard it, he forgave them and promised them heaven. And so the first thing what happened when Jesus rose from the dead and he walked through the doors in the upper room on Easter Sunday, the first act that he did was to blow upon them. He breathed on them, and he gave them the power to forgive sins, can only be done through God. So, but because Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and earth and under the earth, meaning purgatory, some people don't realize when Jesus says about above in the heaven, in earth, and under earth, people don't bow their knee under the earth if they're in hell. They don't bow their knee. But those in purgatory will do so to Jesus because he's Lord and Savior, and he's their Savior. So he promises that people will he tells the apostles, he gives them the right to forgive sins and not to forgive sins. But the only way they can do so is if they hear it out loud, of course, because humans can't read minds and hearts like God can. Now, Jesus did, and God gave certain priests the ability to read hearts. It's not the person's mind. It's to read their hearts. It's called cardiognosis. Like if a person sees a heart doctor, they see a cardiologist. And if a cardiologist gives a diagnosis, well, it's like he tells you what the disease is. Well, a priest may have this special charism that God himself gives called cardiognosis, meaning they can read hearts. And this was given to St. Padre Pio and to St. Philip Neri and some other saints that I don't remember at this point, but those are the two that come to mind. And so this is why priests need to hear people confess their sins out loud. And so this is definitely biblical, because this is what Jesus did on Easter Sunday, and he showed how to do it on Good Friday when he forgave the good thief, also known as Dismas. So that was just another bonus here. I just want to tell you the proof, the biblical proof, the way, the normative way that Jesus himself set up how we should be normally getting forgiveness of sins. Anyway, brothers and sisters, I hope you enjoyed this program here. You know, we talked about a lot of things, just in summary, you know, of St. Isidore, the farmer, the Spaniard, who was helped by angels and had miracles. St. Dimphna, the patron of mental illness and nervous afflictions, who was a martyr, along with St. Gerbrand, and then, of course, St. Simon Stock, who received the scapular directly from Our Lady when he was 90 years old, so he could spread this sacramental that we have right now, and that there's 18 different types of scapulars. And then, of course, I just shared with you here how we should love one another as Christ loved the church, and that we should go to confession because we're all sinners, and we should go to Catholic priest for that. Anyway, dear brothers and sisters, I hope you enjoyed this program, and God bless you. I'm signing off from the program here, signed, sealed, and delivered. God bless you all.